Julie, on the phone with us is Axel Merk, President and Chief Investment Officer with Merk Investments. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us here today. We want to talk about currency in the world and specifically in China, since everybody is talking about how their currency is undervalued and they should do something about it. Tell us the truth of the situation. Is this a real concern for us?
Well, it's a complex situation, as most things are, and our policymakers here and anywhere in the world typically like to blame everybody else for their own problems. And the challenge is that Chinese are more interested in social stability and thereby generating jobs than anything else. And we are in a situation where we're just hooked on the cheap imports that we can buy at Walmart. Now, if the Chinese were to move and allow their currency to strengthen, which we believe they will, not based on bullying by the U.S., but because of their own domestic inflationary pressures, odds are that everything we buy is going to get more expensive. Have you noticed that inflation is not in anything we import in Asia, but anything that we cannot import, like education, healthcare, is rising in prices? And so if and when the Chinese do move, I don't think things are going to get much better for us.
That's an interesting point, that the stuff that is inflating in price is stuff that we do not import. Very, very, very good thought there. Now, is the manipulation going on very slowly here, or what if China made a dramatic move upward in their currency?
Well, if China made a dramatic move, then overnight, pretty much, we'd have a very significant shock. The Chinese, they have a billion or over a billion people to manage, and so they generally don't like to do that. But if they were to move more radically, then overnight they would have pushed prices higher. Now, the reason why Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, for example, doesn't think that may happen is because traditionally when the dollar has weakened, exporters have absorbed the higher cost of doing business. But I'd like to point people to the spring of 2008 when oil prices were soaring to over $100 a barrel. It wasn't just the price of oil. There were stories how in New York, for example, the price of coat hangers was doubling in price. We just couldn't make up for the higher prices. We didn't have a domestic coat hangering manufacturing facility. Those jobs won't come back. And so as a result, Asian exporters these days have pricing power. Sure, some other countries may pick up some of the lost exports, but generally speaking, China in particular, they're providing value-added services that we cannot produce here anymore. And they have pricing power. When they move, we will have to absorb the higher costs.
Wow. You know, the more I hear about things like coat hangers, the more I'm convinced we don't make anything in this country, the United States, anymore. We can't even make coat hangers now and make them at a reasonable cost.
Well, think about it this way. We probably don't want to compete on coat hangers. I've always said you cannot depreciate yourself into prosperity. The point when we will export sneakers to Vietnam is unlikely and hopefully never going to come. We have to compete on value-added cost. And incidentally, that's exactly what China has been moving towards. The toy industry in China has been moving to Vietnam and the Philippines. The Chinese are competing on value these days, and that is precisely the reason why they do have pricing power. Think about Europe. There are very few consumer goods exported from Europe that are competing on price. They compete on value. In an environment where cost pressure is high, you need to move up the value chain. And in the U.S., we need to provide an environment where we can compete on value. And some of that is happening, but we cannot pursue the types of policy we're doing now, where we're trying to push the dollar lower in some illusion that we're going to export more that is sustainable anyway.
Well, we certainly complain a lot about the currency in China, but we don't mind having them carry our debt, do we?
Well, no, and of course it works both ways, because the Chinese, of course, the reason why foreigners are buying our debt is because there aren't very good alternatives. Now, I'm talking about more about the quantity of debt to buy. One of the advantages of issuing so much debt is that we have a liquidity that is immense. If you have billions to invest, you can deploy it in the U.S. Even in the Eurozone already, it's very difficult to buy that amount of debt. But the Chinese have moved on a little bit, and they've bought resources around the world. They are buying debt of other countries these days. But yes, by all means, they need to recycle their dollars in order to keep their dollar weak, and with that, they've been helping to finance our deficits.
Axel Merk is president and CIO for Merk Funds. You can find the website Merk Funds, that's spelled M-E-R-K, merkfunds.com. Axel, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.